UT Opera Theater is presenting Robert Ward's Pulitzer Prize-winning opera, The Crucible, Friday, April 21st at 8 p.m. through Sunday, April 23rd at 2:30, with two performances being given on Saturday. The opera will be performed at the Bijou Theater in downtown Knoxville, and here to talk to me about their production is director James Marvel, baritone Ian Bolden, and soprano Emily Simmons. Welcome to WUOT. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Nice to meet you.
And this opera is based on the well-known play by Arthur Miller, but for those who aren't familiar with the story, could you talk a little bit about what it's about? And I'll direct this at James.
Sure. You know, basically, Melanie, this is the classic American love story of boy meets girl, girl performs satanic ritual in the middle of the woods, girl brings an entire society down to their knees, either to be imprisoned or hanged, and you know, we're staging it as a comedy, as sort of a feel-good, lighthearted romp, so it's a very radical interpretation. But no, in all seriousness, I wanted to start off with a lie with this interview, because that's essentially what the entire opera is about, is that a group of girls were caught dancing in the woods, and so they decided to tell one lie, which then breeds hundreds and hundreds more lies, and the end to many people's lives.
Yes. And the play was actually an allegory for McCarthyism. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that connection.
Yeah, that's correct. In the late 40s through mid-50s, Senator McCarthy began essentially what is termed a witch hunt among intellectuals, artists, other politicians, and it was all part of the Red Scare, where people were terrified of communism and the threat that communism posed to American society. And so, with very little unsubstantiated evidence, McCarthy pursued a variety of individuals, including Arthur Miller, playwright Bertolt Brecht, Dalton Trumbo, who wrote Johnny Got His Gun, all these kinds of major public figures with little to no evidence. And so then even McCarthyism, which has essentially become synonymous with the concept and the idea of witch hunts.
So is there a reason why you selected The Crucible to be performed this spring?
Well, in addition to all of the wonderful casting opportunities that the opera presents, I mean, it's a large cast, and so you have a great ensemble feeling. You know, I don't think that anybody could have necessarily predicted the political state that we would be in now necessarily. So I don't think that there were any agendas as far as that went necessarily from a political standpoint. But suffice to say, this being one of the most well-respected American operas, Pulitzer Prize-winning operas, also based on Arthur Miller's play, which is his most performed play, I think not only the power of Arthur Miller's text and concept and story, but also the absolutely remarkable score by Robert Ward speaks immediately to the heart of the matter. And I actually believe that this score could not have been written by anyone other than an American, at least in the form that it exists presently. His music draws inspiration from church music. You even hear strains of jazz and other kinds of things like that in the music that I find makes it uniquely American in that regard.
And for me, I'm a fan of the play, but I'm an even bigger fan of the opera. I just think that the music heightens the drama and the emotion expressed in the play.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think it's a wonderful synthesis of Arthur Miller's text and kind of delivers it to the audience in a really kind of concise, powerful way that is quite visceral.
Ian, you are singing the role of John Proctor and Emily the role of Abigail. I wonder if you could talk about these characters a little bit. Who are they?
Well, John Proctor is a farming lad. Mm-hmm. He and his wife, Elizabeth, own some property. And he is a very self-righteous character, not necessarily to a fault, but he believes that his view is the right view. And the society that surrounds him in the town is not in line with his view there. Mm-hmm. So he is kind of a loner, but he still is very well respected with the people who line with his viewpoints and his beliefs. And most of that comes with a little bit of contention with both government and church. John has more of a liberal view as opposed to the more conservative and self-serving members of the court and the church in the town.
Mm-hmm. Is he a good man?
Oh, very much so. Very much a very good man.
And Abigail?
Abigail's a survivor. She says that she saw her parents killed in front of her, and whether that's true or not, the point of the matter is that she has nothing, and she's an orphan. She's living with Reverend Paris, who is a man who is highly disliked and seen as a weasel, so that sets her up a little bit for failure within society itself. And her love for Proctor goes against the sexual repression of the Puritan society, and it's also her way out, a way to find a stable home and a place within society. She does what she has to be able to survive.
So she's in love with Proctor even though he's a married man.
She is.
That's actually kind of the crux of the show. Mm-hmm. Abigail was a servant in Proctor's household, and Elizabeth had fallen sick during a point. And as she started to kind of distance herself from her husband, Abigail was there, and John, being the fiery, passionate person that he is in everyday life, needed somewhere to put that energy, and Abigail happened to be looking for something that would take her away and give her this excuse to be a new person. And in that flame that was already there, it kind of engulfed the two of them. But eventually, Elizabeth finds this relationship to be happening and kicks Abigail out of the house, which then starts really the show where we find it.
Both of these roles are very emotionally complex. And opera is acting too, not just singing. So how did you work on developing their characters, the acting component?
Well, this play, ever since I read it in 10th grade, has always just spoken to me because it is one of the most human depictions of characters in theater that I have seen. I personally believe that Arthur Miller had a brilliant ability to show how humans interact, not just in, you know, business interactions, but also how emotions affect every little moment between people. And John Proctor is very complex because he's dealing with the guilt of breaking up his relationship and still loving his wife, and yet having this weight of something more with Abigail, and then also fighting, railing against society and trying to make things right and do the, you know, honorable thing. As a man, as a husband, and also as a man of God. He does have strong religious convictions, but again, they are not in line with the political and religious state. Mm-hmm. So it's a big struggle, and there's a build throughout the show. We see his kind of wildness build from Act 1 into Act 3, where he just, you know, starts to lose control, until Act 4, you know, there's a bunch of denouement and a great resolution. Mm-hmm.
I think being double cast has been a really great tool for exploring things, because if they say acting is reacting, you have twice the opportunities and two very different people and body types and voices to work across with. So that's been really fun. And the Caleb Beard, who I'm double cast with, is probably one of the most empathetic people I've ever met. So just to be able to discuss this character from her perspective and work off of each other has been an amazing tool.
So it sounds like the development of the characters is just already written into the play and the score itself, in a way.
I would definitely say so.
Speaking about the score, there is so much given to us in what we should be feeling, because these motives, there are actually specific motives towards character and emotions between characters that we find. For example, in the beginning of Act 3, there is a what I deem as the love motive between Abigail and John. Mm-hmm. And we hear it multiple times throughout the piece. It keeps reappearing every time that they have an interaction. And having that to latch onto as an actor, you know, being surrounded by something that's not just yourself or what you're imagining or whatever you would like to say acting is, but having this background that propels you forward into something. Mm-hmm. And Ward has done an amazing job with that.
What are some of the most challenging aspects of singing these roles?
There are a lot of challenges with it. The music for Abigail reflects her as a character a lot in the way that her music either sits at the very bottom of the staff or it sits at the very top of the staff. She's a very extreme character who changes on a dime. And also, it's such a physical production, and there's so much passion and raw emotion that to stay in character while still staying within the core of your instrument is a constant struggle and a constant thought that has to be in the back of your mind.
Mm. How about for you, Ian?
John Proctor is a huge role. He is on stage all save one part of Act One. Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot to be said for his range. He explores every inch of a singer's vocal range. Mm-hmm. Because there's an aria at the end of Act Two where he starts in, for me especially, what is the basement of my tone. Mm-hmm. I am squeezing out those notes, and then goes up to the very top where, again, I'm kind of squeezing out those notes. But it's used in such a way that it conveys this specific emotion of each line and each piece of text. And exploring that vocally has been both a challenge but also a really exciting discovery to see, oh, this is how I would say it or how I would explain it to someone if I were really impassioned. But it's also, you know, finding, as Emily said, finding that core vocal connection that you can't really mess with too much. Mm-hmm. You really need to build off of that, and then you can add things to it.
James, tell me a little bit about the set that you're going to be using. Did you build a set for this?
The set is being designed by Blair Melnick, who is a New York designer with a lot of credits both nationally and internationally. He recently designed an installation kind of nightclub space in Moscow and did another one in Milan. And he was involved with the Sleep No More project in New York. And so Blair is a really remarkable designer who is able to deal quite elegantly and poetically with the financial limitations that we have at UTOT and really come up with some really elegant solutions to that.
So is it a traditional set for the show, or is it?
It's partially traditional, but it's also a bit conceptual and slightly abstract. It really allows the imagination to create around the action that's happening on stage. And so we have a beautiful wooded backdrop. And actually, one of the more interesting things that we did was we have, I'm sure many of your viewers saw the production of The Crucible that the Clarence Brown Theater did last September, I believe, October perhaps. And that was an absolutely riveting production. I mean, it really doesn't get much better than that. And kudos to my friends at the Clarence Brown Theater for that. So we actually took a lot of the wood and have recycled that into our set that's being installed into the Bijou Theater, which is very environmentally conscious and kind of a great way to have that discussion where in the same city, you have a professional theater company who's producing this play and the University Opera, which is producing the opera. And I just think it's exciting to live in a community where that kind of artistic dialogue is possible. So if you did see the play, I would really love for you to come out and see our operatic production of it. It will not disappoint. The show is in great shape, and I can't wait to unleash it on the audience.
Speaking of the Bijou Theater, you are in the Bijou Theater instead of the Carousel. How does it feel to have all of that space and a pit for the orchestra?
I think in many regards, it's both a luxury and a necessity. I think that having the orchestra in the pit and having that proscenium experience is a wonderful opportunity for our students. And it gives them an experience as artists that will most closely approximate the kinds of experiences they may encounter when they pursue professional careers after leaving UT.
Well, James, Ian, and Emily, thanks so much for stopping by WUOT to chat about Robert Ward's opera, The Crucible, and best of luck with your production.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks.
Once again, the UT Opera Theater is presenting Robert Ward's The Crucible at the Bijou Theater Friday, April 21st at 8 p.m., Saturday at 2:30 and 8, and Sunday, April 23rd at 2:30. More information is available on their Facebook page, UT Opera Theater.